This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode. It's a Thursday show, so we're going to drop training knowledge on you today. I actually wanted to do this one for a while because when you get some exposure to the Globo Gym after some time, you start to realize what separates people that have really aesthetic physiques and what people that don't. And I think everyone wants to have an aesthetic physique. And I think it's really apparent when you see someone in the street or walking, you know, going for a run or something, and you're like, holy shit, that person. You just don't necessarily know why unless you kind of, you know, doing fitness like how we're doing fitness. And, you know, we think about it all the time. We're educating people on it. We're training people. You just don't know why that person looks so good the way that you go, oh, they got a massive, but it's not just the chest and it's not just the shoulders. It's not the bum. It's there's so much that goes into it. We're going to kind of break that down today. Before we jump into it, guys, looking after your external health is a reflection of your internal health. And a part of, you know, looking after how you want to look aesthetically is how, you know, you treat your body on the inside. And I think most people miss a lot of nutrients throughout the day, a lot of minerals, just because they're in a rush. You're eating foods where you don't have the prep time, maybe you're getting prepackaged meals, you don't have fresh vegetables, you don't have fresh fruit. You just kind of miss out on a large portion of the daily vitamins and minerals that you need, which over time, you might be good for a while and you might not notice a difference, but over time, over months, over years, certain minerals and nutrients, if you're not getting them, and vitamins, if you're not getting them over time, slowly deplete. And the stores don't get refilled. And the consequence of that is you start to get some pretty nasty downstream effects like poor sleep, bad skin health, bad recovery. Your performance suffers. And a way that you can just kind of negate this is by having a daily greens powder. The best one that we know and use is Activated Nutrients. It's their daily top-up product. Definitely recommend anyone get it. Guys, you're covering all your bases with whole foods and vitamins and minerals that absorb better than synthetic vitamins and minerals. So it's a much better, cleaner manufacturing process. It's a more expensive manufacturing process, which is why it's a higher quality product. So we're very passionate about this company because it's just helped us out so much, especially when we're traveling, especially if you guys are going through it's a cold time and, you know, viruses around, people getting sick, all this sort of stuff. So cover your bases. So go to themindmuscleproject.com/activated and you can check out our discount code there and pick up the top up product. And that greens powder is going to cover all your bases for less than $2 a day, which is pretty incredible. You don't have to worry about, I mean, obviously you still want to get your fruits and vegetables in, but you don't have to worry about it all the time in the long term. And it's easy. 1 teaspoon in a glass of water in the morning. It tastes fine. And you get it down nice and easy. As well, guys, if you've done the project programs at any point, we have a second phase. So obviously the first phase is an 8-week training block. The next phase is a 12-week training block. So you've got 3 4-week cycles. We absolutely recommend that you guys progress to the next phase. That's really where you're going to make some of the incredible gains. You've laid a foundation. You've got used to some movements. You've probably done some crazy tempos. You've been sore. Now you're ready for the second phase. The second phase is a real step up. Now you're running with a lot of momentum here. You've got a lot of gains. You can really capitalize on some serious performance, some strength. If you were to skip and jump programs now, you'd be missing out. Highly recommend getting onto phase 2. You don't have to do phase 1 to do phase 2, even though we would recommend it. But regardless, phase 2 is a 12-week program of Body Strong and Fitness. You can check it out, themindmuscleproject.com/phase 2. That's PHASE and the number 2. That's all one word. So our website /phase 2, and you'll get 30% off that for the month of April. All right. So this is this starting point, I think, is really critical for you to understand when you have the goal of going, like, wherever you're at in your fitness journey, whether you're like us, 10, 15 years into lifting weights, or you are just starting out and you want to go, okay, I want to build an aesthetic physique. And an aesthetic physique, I'd say most people would generally agree, they wouldn't really say bodybuilders anymore unless you're really deep into it because they've just gotten so massive. But it's more of like the cover models of like men's health, men's fitness in sort of a mainstream sense. And then a lot of CrossFitters as well, like male CrossFitters. Some of them obviously get really fucking jacked. But if you look at like the Rich Fronings of the world or the Brett Fikowskis and stuff like that, the guys that aren't quite as short and thick, you go, oh, I'd really want to look like a guy like that. You know, it's well-rounded physique.
The great thing as well is that usually an aesthetic physique is also a pretty healthy, well-rounded physique as well. Like it's not like the opposite. It's like, oh, if I go for that, I'm like giving up on this. Right. Like, no, usually it like it's improving your structural balance and just the performance of your physique as well.
Yeah, and I'd say that a lot of people that lift weights, a lot of people will look at them and they say, oh, I don't want to look like that guy. But the guy's jacked. But what is it about this guy that has people saying, oh, like, yeah, I get it, he lifts weights, but he just doesn't look that good. And likely he's just, or a guy or a girl just in their training is probably just neglecting some body parts. They're probably not getting quite the balance right. And so that's kind of the stuff we want to dive into. But the foundations of an aesthetic physique really is the strength that you have through your posterior chain and your anterior chain. So the front and back of your body is very similar. I think that gets neglected a lot. So that, you know, someone can bench a ton of weight, but they can barely do any pull-ups, or they can do a ton of pull-ups, but they can barely do any bench press. So just making sure there's some balance there will help balance out how your body looks. So balance in strength is also balance in how your body looks as well. And so figuring out where you're lacking, where you're weak is just, I think, critical to having that symmetry and that aesthetic foundation.
Yeah, it's like when you see someone with massive biceps and small triceps. It does look weird. You see it all the time. It's like on a small scale, you look at their arm, something weird about the arm.
Yeah.
It's like not usually an arm you want. Where a nice, like, beautifully well-rounded arm, you're like, oh, that's mad. That guy's got sick arms.
Yeah, and they've probably got proportional strength as well, like very even strength. So let's start with what I feel like are probably some of the most under-trained body parts that get neglected when it comes to aesthetic physiques. Now, generally as a rule, this is mostly posterior chain-related things. Because you can't see them in the mirror, most people don't appreciate that how they look from the back is so different to how they look from the front. They love how they look from the front because they never see themselves from the back. They never know. But there's multiple times I've seen guys and girls, and you look at them from the back. Girls a little bit different because they obviously want to train their butt a lot, but especially in guys, you look at them from the back, they barely look like they've lifted weights, right? You look at them from the front, you're like, oh, this person's pretty jacked. But that's not an aesthetic physique. An aesthetic physique is well-rounded. And I think that requires, in my opinion, a lot more posterior chain training than it does anterior chain training. So some of the big areas that get neglected, calves is obviously a huge part of it as well. And then hamstrings is a huge part of it as well. And I guess obviously hamstrings will tie into glutes, lower back, upper back, middle back, lats, all that sort of stuff. I think a lot of guys appreciate, or a lot of people at this point appreciate, that there needs to be upper back work and lat training, that sort of stuff. But really kind of from the lower back downwards, even a thick lower back, like a strong lower back, is aesthetic. It's important, right? I think a lot of that gets missed just in people's general training. So yeah, those are kind of the most undertrained body parts I see.
You know what happens as well, I reckon, is that you might have regular calves, right? It's not an issue. But then you get into lifting. You like get into squats, get into deadlifts, get into leg extensions, get into leg curls, going on, doing lunges. All of a sudden, your calves have become small. They've probably stayed the same or even got 10% bigger. Problem is just the other muscles have grown by like 40%. You've now got massive thighs and your calves are a tiny bit bigger, but now they look ridiculous. Or same thing with the hamstrings, right? People's quads just blow up because of the sport they've chosen. They're like rowing all day, whatever it is. And then now, you just look worse sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when you got to go. And maybe it's an injury that makes you go do it. Or maybe you're lucky you don't get injured. It could be even worse because then you never put the time and attention into it.
Yeah.
And that's why, you just got to work on it at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big thing, like to develop hamstrings, calves, lower back, that sort of stuff. And I think that some people might get too carried away with them, and we'll get to compound versus isolation, but they might only treat these exercises with a couple of isolation movements and expect them to grow. And no, I mean, they're huge muscle groups. Like the hamstrings are massive muscles. And if you're not training them, you know, you're putting some serious work to them because they're strong, right? Big muscles are generally pretty strong muscles. They need a lot of work. If you just do a couple of leg curls, three sets of leg curls, it's not going to do shit, right? You need to be doing heavy deadlifts, Nordic curls, even sprinting can develop your hamstrings, hip extensions, hip thrusts. Yeah, I'm going through all the big stuff here. A couple of, hamstring curls are great. That's definitely a part of it, but it's not going to be enough. And that is really when you see the guys that separate themselves and you're like, wow, that guy just looks good. Like he looks strong. He looks powerful. It's because he's developed so much strength in these areas. He hasn't neglected them. So that moves us on to compound versus isolation, right? How do you balance compound exercises versus isolation exercises? Well, there needs to be both. I think that some people get caught in two camps. Like, hey, I only do isolation exercises, or I only do compound exercises because isolation is a waste of time. Or people think, with compound, you know, get to build up single body parts just enough. I think both are right, and then also both are wrong. You need a balance of both. You need a balance where, hey, obviously compound exercises come first because they require more motor units, they're more exhausting. If I'm working on, say, these undertrained body parts like calves and hamstrings, whatever, a compound exercise, okay, cool, we might be going through hip thrusts and deadlifts, and then we're looking at, you know, seated calf raises, potentially some running for the calves as well. Then you might be looking at some of the isometric stuff, doing some hamstring curls, right? Doing some, you know, maybe some Nordic curls as well, if you want to call those isolation exercises. So incorporating a few of these different movements together is really, I think, ultimately what gets you the really aesthetic physique.
Yeah, and I think that there's probably just some myths that come out because there's some people that will pretty much just do compound exercises that look unbelievable, right? Because they're just in really good balance to start with and it's good genetics. And that's usually where the people say, oh, well, like, you know, this is all you need to do. Look what I did. And it looked really good. For a lot of people, that's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, they'll try the same thing. They'll just squat, press, and deadlift. And it doesn't work out that way. So that's just unlucky. And you got to just go in and, yeah, do more isolation work than maybe that other person that just did the compound exercise and looked amazing. That's just life. Right? I don't know if Ritroni did much isolation.
Yeah.
Probably didn't.
Yeah.
Seems like he really just did CrossFit stuff. Man, he's lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, he obviously prays harder than I do. Other people just don't get that luck.
A lot harder.
And you don't end up like that. So it's not about what training is best. It's about, hey, for you, if that muscle part, if that muscle on your body is weaker in a certain area, there might be tons of isolation work you need to do for it. You might not need to do it forever. You might need to do it for 6-12 months. Make the gains and now you're in better balance. But that's just the way it is.
And I think some people think that, so let's take the pull-up, for example, right? If I just do pull-ups, I'll develop a really big aesthetic back. I agree. I think that's true. However, it's also true that if you did, you know, get really good at pull-ups, and then you also did lat pull-downs, right? And then you also did some machine lat work, you would develop an even more incredible back. You wouldn't just need pull-ups. It's just that pull-ups can get you 80% of the way there, right? Because they're so efficient. And maybe that's all the time you have. But if you're like, no, I want to develop the biggest and strongest back possible, there are ways that you can get into positions to train muscles in a lat pull down that you can't just do with pull-ups because other things exhaust and they fatigue faster, right? And the same goes for a machine lat exercise. When you rest your elbows on the pads, you drive down, you're pretty much all lats. That's just stuff that you can't really access when you're doing just pull downs and you're just doing pull-ups. So there's always stuff that as you work down from compound to isolation, certain muscles get loaded differently. And if you use them in perfect synergy, in good programming, then you can develop a really well-rounded back. So someone goes, what do you do? I just kind of do everything for my back, you know? So really, that also comes to executing the exercise, which is a full range of motion. Now, we talked about this before the start of the show, but you know, yeah, there are a lot of bodybuilders out there that have aesthetic physiques. They don't use a full range of motion. Well, all I would say to that is they just have enough time to train all the body parts extensively. If you use a full range of motion, let's stick with the pull-up example. Actually, let's move on to a squat, right? If you only squat, you know, quarter to parallel, you're mostly working your quads, right? As soon as you move below the hip, we know that that's when you get massive hamstring and massive glute activation, right? So, yes, you can do a lot of quarter squats and develop massive quads, but if you just went all the way down through the full range of motion, you would bring up your hamstrings and your glutes a lot. So that's why it's important to do a full range of motion, whether you're doing isolation exercises or you're doing compound exercises, is because you're recruiting other muscle groups to work harder at different ranges of motion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess how I would think is that the bigger range of motion you can do, you know, the more you're just increasing your odds of having a well-rounded physique because you're hitting more muscle groups.
Yeah.
Right? If you do a row and you pull your elbows all the way back behind your back, you're going to hit like more of your delt, right? You could do it just at the front. You're just not going to hit it as hard. So yeah. I guess it just increases your odds. I guess in some ways, probably the better range of motion you have, maybe the less isolation exercise you're going to need to do down the road as well. You know, so it's just the best way to do it from the outset and give you the best chances of having a well-rounded physique. Because what you might find is like, yeah, you can do 20 half rep pull-ups, but you can do like one really good pull-up. And if you force yourself to stick with that one, turn it into 10 really good ones, you're probably bringing up the lagging muscle groups in that journey.
Yeah. I think it's just hard because if you've done half reps for so long, you have to take the weight down, you have to take the reps down.
And you might think you're doing a full rep, and we're talking about, you're saying you're doing a half rep.
Yeah.
That's the reality.
Yeah. And as I see it all the time, people come in, I'm like, okay, cool. So we're going to do one full rep here. So I didn't count any of those last 5 pull-ups you did. We're going to do one full pull-up. Once you pause at the bottom, once you let your shoulders hang all the way down, and they do one, and it's really hard. And I'm like, okay, but that's, you worked more muscles. And ultimately, you're going to look better if you do a full range of motion. So I think that's a big piece that people miss is they don't appreciate that doing more half reps is not actually better for your physique. Doing less full range of motion reps is going to end up with a more balanced, more aesthetic physique. Cool. That really comes down to a little bit of sort of your performance versus aesthetic training. Now, when you're thinking about progressing, you're thinking about training, if you're always focused on how the body looks, right, and less about how it performs, you will miss some stuff. So exactly what we talked about before with pull-ups. If you only do pull-ups and look in the mirror afterwards, what do you think you're looking at? Your biceps, maybe a little bit of your lats as you turn to the side. You think, yeah, pump them up, pretty good. But here's what you miss. By not being able to do 10 full range of motion pull-ups, you miss all the small upper back muscles. You miss the brachialis, which thickens up the elbow. You miss like the rear delts, which obviously create more balance. You just miss the grip strength. You miss the overall strength that you could be gaining from focusing on your performance. And now we spend a lot of time obviously doing CrossFit. Our body has developed a lot. We never looked at aesthetically what we're working on, but we developed into, I'm not saying the most aesthetic people ever, but you developed much better structural balance because, yeah, what you're focusing on is the performance. And I think that the same should go for everything. If you focus on the performance, yes, you're training chest, that's the focus, but how is the performance of your bench press? How's your full range of motion? How's your strength? How's your lockout? All these sorts of things. If you're focusing on that, the aesthetics will come.
Yeah, I guess that's where you can get into a lot of trouble. Is when you're like not focused at all on the performance and your aesthetics are slightly off and you're just kind of doing this program, half reps, and it's, you don't realize it's not a very well-balanced program.
Yeah.
But because you're not really tracking any lifts, you just get away with it, right? And that's where you can get into some troubles with some like really big structural balances. But usually, yeah, maybe if you're doing CrossFit or something, you notice, okay, these lifts suck. I suck at these workouts. I've got to bring it up. And in doing that, you're getting a better round of physique. But what I add is that some performance doesn't lend itself as well to aesthetics. You know, maybe if you're really into your rowing and like there's just no chest in it, you might need to like step away from the performance a little bit to better round out this physique.
Mm.
So it really probably depends on what sport you're doing as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's so many factors that are coming in here. And that, I mean, if you're not paying attention to how you look, because obviously if you're wanting to make aesthetic changes, that's important. But if you're not, also paying attention to your performance in all areas. Like, man, why is my strict press so bad, but I can bench press so much? It's like, cool. There's going to be a lagging delt issue here. There's going to be some shoulder strength, some trap strength issues here that you need to fix. The other thing as well is like, as you're accumulating skills, right? Say like a pull-up, that's like a strength skill, and I don't know, a handstand or something like that. If you can't do those skills, there are structural imbalances at play here that you need to work on. If you can't do a proper deadlift, there's probably restrictions and imbalances there. You know, if you can't do a proper squat, there's restrictions and imbalances there. By fixing the performance of these fundamental movements, you'll naturally, aesthetically build up the areas that have been lagging. So that's just one thing to consider as well, which also ties into performance. So any final thoughts on any of the stuff that we talked about?
No, I just think it's one that you can ignore and you can think you don't care about it. But I think that just getting it right is going to lend itself to performance. And if you care about it, then fucking get it right.
Yeah. And look, the best way to do it is just to follow a really good program. Obviously, you know, we have our programs that you can follow that take care of all this for you. It's performance focused. It's going to...
Nearly everything we mentioned is a programming problem.
Exactly. Yeah, it always comes down to that, right? A programming and an execution problem, right? Yeah. As well. Yeah. Executing the technique and the reps. But there are also other great gyms that you can attend and programs out there. It doesn't have to be our stuff. Obviously, we've done it for you guys. And, you know, there's phase one, there's phase two. All the programs are on the mymuscleproject.com/programs. You can check them out. But just to go through it one more time, guys, foundations of an aesthetic physique is symmetry. There's some really seriously undertrained body parts, calves, hamstrings, lower back, mostly posterior chain stuff. You need a balance of compound and isolation exercises in perfect synergy so you can bring up all the right body parts. Range of motion is absolutely critical because not doing a full range of motion will not activate all the muscles that you could be involving just because you're being lazy and your ego's getting in the way. And then ultimately what this comes down to is focusing on your performance just as much as you're focusing on your aesthetic. And like Raph said, sometimes over-focusing on different areas of performance can also hinder your aesthetic. So hopefully this gives you guys an idea of how to create a more aesthetic physique and maybe highlight some areas that you've been missing, some things you haven't thought of. But as we always do, guys, we appreciate you. If you want to share it, if you want to tell one person about it, give it to someone that you think is useful. We always appreciate that. And then those of you that invest in our training programs, we also love and appreciate you guys as well. We put a lot of time, effort, thought into them, some round tables, working with the whole team on building amazing programs, and the feedback's been great. You know, it's sold more programs than we've ever sold in the last 3 months, and not a single refund. So you guys are obviously getting great results. So we appreciate that. Again, all the programs at themymuscleproject.com/programs. Phase two is 20% off, sorry, 30% off this month for all the programs at our website /phase2. You can check it out there. But as always, thank you so much, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.